Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Be a man.
Experience! Are you with me?
Be a man?
Yeah.
You ready to preach? Preacher?
Yep.
Who don't we trust?
Somebody that doesn't drink.
What's your favorite kind of broad?
Drunk ones, of course.
All right.
It's not a world of men.
I want you to be a man.
You could just be a man in this one moment.
I gotta be a man.
Be a man.
It's be a man time.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Am I supposed to be a man?
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
You can act like a man.
Be a man.
When you were a kid, right, did your old man drink booze in the house?
He said, my parents weren't drinkers. They drink wine.
Oh, okay.
My old man drink wine. My mother maybe has some Baileys.
My old man drank whiskey.
Yeah.
And whiskey was not his friend.
No.
Let me tell you something. When he had whiskey, he turned into the Tasmanian devil. Or my mother would call him that bow-legged you bangy. How many mothers, I bet you in this whole world, forever, no mother has ever referred to the husband / father as, you wait till that bow-legged you bangy gets home. Your mother ever say that?
No, she just used to call him him.
Him, right.
your father.
Oh, and they would drink highballs, you know, Seagram's, Canadian Club.
Yeah.
Wasn't too much beer around.
Thanks, Tom Collins.
Collins,
yeah,
for the ladies.
I mean, I always drank when I was younger, though. Like, I can, as long as I can remember, I was always having a little wine.
Oh, yeah.
They always give you a taste.
Yeah, back then, the father and the mother, they would let the kid taste the whiskey.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. Even to this day, as I was thinking, it tastes like shit to me. I'll drink it. It ain't chocolate milk.
Yeah.
It ain't fucking like a parfait. You know, I'll drink it, but I can't honestly say I enjoy the taste so much.
You gotta put it on the rocks.
Yeah, I drink for one reason. Let's be honest. I drink to get fucked up.
Absolutely.
How about you?
I'm not doing it for fun. I want to get fucked up, for sure.
I mean, seriously, if I'm going to fucking drink something, yeah, how about a Coke or a glass of fucking Bosco or cocoa?
Yeah.
Oh, give me a nice, refreshing Yukon Jack.
Yeah.
Come on. That's not going to do it.
Having the older people in your family sneaking you beers,
yeah,
and
well, they figured it's inevitable.
Yeah.
Well, I might as well get fucking drunk, know what it's all about, deal with it, right?
Yeah. Well, I got half as Italian, half as Irish.
What?
So yeah. So,
oh my god.
So, you know, one side is slipping me wine, the other side is slipping me beer.
Shit.
You know what I mean? So,
what side did you like better?
What do you think?
Did you guys ever have the friend of yours who had the cool parents that were like, you drink if you stay here and don't cause a scene?
When I was one of my best friends, I think I was 11 when I started hanging out with him. You know, they're from England. His parents are from England. So there's no drinking age there. They used to go over to get fucked up when I was like 11 years old. Sit there. We'd be staying. We weren't going anywhere, but we'd be drinking wine or whatever over there, getting fucked up when we were like 11 years old.
Yeah.
Beer.
There you go.
Just, you know, but it's so different back then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They had the liquor cabinet open.
I'm
talking about the days. You know, like in a soap opera, they come home from work, there's fucking ice in the thing.
Yeah.
What do you call that? The ice cube holder?
Yeah.
My house, right? There was ice cubes.
Oh, yeah.
In case any time in the day you want to break out and have a quick highball,
yeah,
you reach right in and somehow somebody put ice in there.
Nice.
I was a latchkey kid, so my mother would be at work, and I would do happy hours at the house with her liquor stash and her liquor cabinet, and basically just start serving drinks to, you know, friends and people in the neighborhood that would come in.
You know, we had this neighbor. He was in trouble with the wife. He was holding his 2-year-old son in his arms at this time, for real, rocking the baby, totally shit-faced, telling me how his wife is breaking his balls because he was giving the 5-year-old beer.
Sick.
In the midst of this story, he drops the 2-year-old right on a marble floor, scooped him up, rubbed his head, and he's going to me like this, "Cha,
motherfucker."
The older kid, the 5-year-old. "You're just breaking my fucking balls. I gave him 2 fucking beers."
How's the kid that got dropped on his head?
Not too good.
Yeah.
But the one he was giving the beers to, he goes like this, "You're breaking my fucking balls. I gave him 2 beers, John. 2 beers. He goes, dead serious. What fucking kid doesn't like beer? I go, oh, I fucking love it. I says, my 6-year-old, he had a fucking 12-pack this morning. Yeah.
Five years old, that'd be like you and me drinking a case right now.
And I'll tell you, I mean, the poor kids, fast forward, there's a possibility that the boost affected them.
Yeah. all the drop in the head.
Or something, man. Something's a little askew, put it that way.
Yeah.
You can't be pumping beer and booze into your fucking, you know, you got to at least be 10, no?
Yeah, at least.
I get to junior high. We take off sometimes up in the richer part of town. We hang out with kids. Their parents would be working. We go in there, raid the liquor cabinet.
Yeah.
We're drinking during the day. We get a little water and fill up the booze we took, you know?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the first time that you vomited due to over drinking?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I was 14. I think I was like 14.
The most violent memory I have of puking is probably not the first time, was Somerville High School drinking Southern Comfort. Yeah, that seems to be a big one with a lot of people.
Yeah.
What will you never drink again? Many people will say Southern Comfort.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, once you get sick on something.
That's it.
I think I got sick in that once. And I don't want Jack Daniels, too.
Gin.
Wild turkey.
I don't mind gin.
Don't mind gin?
Yeah, I don't mind gin.
But that's what I'm saying about booze. Yes, to be a man, nice, to try to be a manly man.
Nice dry martini.
You want to be seen with a manly drink. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I have to confess here, nationwide, fucking taste sucks. I'm sorry. I'll drink it. I'll get fucked up. But I can't go, delish.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
See, I'm starting to get into bourbons a little bit. You know, for years and years, you know, I was just smashing down those Evan Williams, like, fake Jack Daniels nips forever. And now I'm actually having, like, decent bourbon, you know, on the rocks. It's nice.
You're an aristocrat now.
Yeah. But there is, a huge difference.
Yeah.
Like, when you're used to drinking something that goes down like nails forever, you know, you equate, like, kind of bad memories and bad stuff with it, and every time you drink it.
This is true.
Yeah.
We used to drink, my father bought Cappy's, is a famous liquor chain.
Oh, yes.
He bought Cappy's brand. He said it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
I go, oh, I don't know, Dad. I go,
same alcohol content.
I go, that one's $60. This one's $5. I think it's piss.
Cogswell's
a
vodka.
Handle.
A handle of Cogswell's for like $9.99.
You know what you don't see guys doing anymore, speaking to drinking, and I think they should bring it back? A nice flask. Picture this. You're at a business meeting, at a lunch, boardroom, whatever. You have your suits on. In the middle of a presentation, you casually reach in and break open your flask in front of everybody. They stand there aghast. And you go, oh, I'm sorry. And you offer them some. Take a swig. You put it back. You go, you were saying.
What a tone setter.
Come on.
That is. As like as a personal prop, like no man should be without one.
No.
It's fantastic. It like you said, it sets the tone in the room so hard. Like, hey, I'm fucking partying right now. Who's ready to go? You know, like it's there's definitely a statement said by the flask.
I mean, I wonder if you walk around Boston or whatever, any big city, how many people are carrying flask?
Not many anymore.
Right? But they sell them.
Yeah, they still make them.
Flashy.
I say we bring back the flask. Yeah. Be a man flask.
Let's get a
fucking
Let's get a flask for the show.
Always have a little heart. And another way to set the tone with people is, say you have a meeting or you go somewhere, you want to have hard liquor on your breath.
Yes.
That really says a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if it's in the morning. And as soon as you leave, the murmuring begins going, that guy was reeking of hard liquor. Isn't that good?
How about the awkward transition, you know, say you're like a, you know, 20-year-old kid, you've been, you know, out of high school, drinking at parties and stuff, and you're getting ready and you're starting to, you know, you turn 21. That transformation from drinking in a basement to drinking in a bar, what was that like for you, B-Man?
Well, it was 18 when I was back then.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Age was 18, so, which was pretty cool. Went up to college. I mean, I went to a community, you know, Bunker Hill Community College. Like
Ivy
talked
Ligger.
About. Yeah. And did a lot of drinking up there. You know, it was all, no one lived on campus up there, but we had a lot of, I played ball up there. So I was hanging out with a lot of guys, like Vietnam vets are like in their 30s, who are fucking nuts. But we're having parties after every practice, going to Sully's in Charlestown across the street, showing up to practice, fucked up out of our brain. Like one time, our coach, we all pulled up, we fucking shit-faced, we called practice off. We got shit-faced before practice.
Oh, that's
so
did classic.
A lot of partying there at college, you know, and then of course at home with my buddies. But then I went up to Livet College, and it was just a whole nother, it was just fucking nuts. Like I told before, we got in the first 3 days I was there, we fought the lacrosse team, me and two other kids. You know, didn't work out too good for us, but we didn't back down.
Liquor.
Yeah, because we were fucked up. It was me and my mouth.
Yeah. Well.
It was over a broad, too, that I saw in the dorm, and I was yelling
funny,
stuff.
Man.
We were talking, and some kid said something, and next thing you knew, it was the whole lacrosse team came down after us.
The fucking melee.
Yeah, it was a melee.
I'll never forget this dude in grammar school. He was the substitute custodian, like the regular guy, you know, the regular hard-drinking janitor.
Yeah.
Chain-smoking guy was not there. It was another guy there, and it took many years to figure out what he meant. He was giving me a parable, a lesson. He had like three fingers missing, and he goes, "Come here, John, sit down." And I forget how exactly this all started. He goes, and he held up that hand. I went, he goes, "The man that did this to me, the man that did this to me, he drank liquor." I swear to God, he said that. And then he's going on and on and on. And later I went, "He is that man."
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. He was telling me like that he was once that man who drank liquor and caused that to happen. But I went, I should have said, are you that man?
are you the guy?
So when I was at school, me and some of the punks I hung out with, we fucking broke into all kinds of like little farm stands, fucking taking like 40-pound pumpkins or whatever we could steal. Then we pull over, we see a bunch of cows. So we pull over. They're like, "Let's go cow tipping." And this one kid from this town, who was a great track, he was like a state champion track star. He's the one that thought of it. So we jumped into the pen with the cows. Shit-faced out of our minds. Moonlight. You could see him just standing there. It works.
Romantic.
It works. You can push him over. Have you ever gone cow tipping?
I've never done it, no.
Fucking took us two of them, but we were fucking tipping them over. So it was like, boom. Smack, right? So, all
did
of a sudden,
they make the sound like the
Probably. The sound I remember is them hitting the ground like boom. It was like
do they get back up or not?
Well, one was awake. I don't know if it's one we pushed over or one that woke up. He was chasing the track star around in the pen. I climbed out. I was near a fence, so I got the fuck out of there. But it was fucking crazy. This kid was nuts anyways. He could piss over his shoulder. That was his big thing.
Oh, wow.
And if you're from the town I'm from, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah. Do you feel like you were good at bars? Like, did you frequent bars? Did you get in fights at bars?
Oh, constantly, yeah.
All the time.
I was a
college,
big bar goer. And what we used to do, once we graduated to public and bar drinking as quote-unquote adults,
yeah,
drink like Galliano Stingers. You know what I mean? Like the worst possible concoction, five liquors in it, have 10 of them, can't find your car. Fist fight, sneaking out on not paying. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, I worked as a bouncer on Revere Beach and on the Linway and stuff. And
nice.
I frequented these places, too. For Pete's Sake, used to be called For Pete's Sake, down where the Wendy's is on the Linway.
Yeah.
It was all kinds of... I was in there once, and I wasn't working. My buddy was a bouncer, but he wasn't working. And him and this doctor had something going on. I don't know if my buddy banged his wife or something. But they didn't like each other. Him and his doctor. I mean, it was a big brawl that broke out. It went on. There was no cops. It went on for like 10, 15 minutes. Him and this guy were fucking killing each other. I mean, they wouldn't let go. And
nice.
They were just, when one of them had a little bit of energy, fucking throw a couple of shots or grab his hair or fucking bite him. I don't know. I had no cops. It was a fucked up night.
We used to have the setup place before you'd head out for the town. We used to go to a place in Charlestown on the Somerville line. Joe Sullivan, Irishman there. He was shot like seven times.
I know this.
Parker Tavern.
Yeah.
He was great, man. We used to get shake and bakes, we'd call him. It was like a white Russian.
Yeah.
So it just got to the point where he'd go, shake and bake. Two shake and bakes. And then he'd make one thing on the whole menu, ham and cheese. That's all there was. You go, "I think I'll get a ham and cheese." He'd lean in and go, "With mustard." I go, "Yes, Joe, with mustard." His filthy chain-smoking hands. Touching money, bar. Touch the food. Nobody gave a shit.
We used to go up to EJ's. Remember EJ's up on Route 1?
Remember that?
That was owned by Eddie Johnston, the guy, the goalie for the Bruins. It was penny a drink. Like, I don't know if it was like Thursday nights.
Ooh.
It was like penny a drink from 7 to 9. So me and my buddies would go up there. We'd fucking do shots of Jack Daniels. They used to give you they'd have a stack full of pennies on the tray. It was so fucked up.
Crazy. Gimmick.
Great brawls in the parking lot.
Yes.
Fucking all kinds of shit going on. You're driving home. I drove home down Route 1 so many times, I don't remember.
Ooh, Route 1.
I was in there, bro, I thought I was Russ Francis because I had a Patriots shirt on and used to have a mustache. And all my buddies were like, yeah, it's Russ Francis. She was a Patriots cheerleader. So.
Did you capitalize, I hope?
Well, yeah. So I guess I drove her. No, I didn't drive her because I was looking for a ride home. Somehow. We're in the pool. Her friend was there in the pool, and you know I was in my underwear. She's taking me by the hand up to her bedroom, right? All of a sudden, you know, she lived with her parents. So all of a sudden, the fucking door opens. This fucking bulldog-faced woman with curly hair. Get out of my house. So I ran out with my underwear. Me and this other kid that were there, had to thumb home the wind.
Did she get a good look at your doorknob?
I have my underwear.
Curved doorknob? Yeah.
So, of course, there's the bar scene, but then, like, you know, you get a little bit older, and then there's the club scene. Were you guys into it?
Yeah.
Were you guys pulling broads out of dance clubs?
Girls, of course, we're into it.
Put it this way, you know, like Mo Green. I was banging cocktail waitresses two at a time. Like Mo Green says about Fredo. Don't forget, I came of age in mid-70s onwards.
A couple of years behind you.
I had a lot of action.
Yeah, disco time was,
free,
you know,
love, baby, was going around.
Yeah, I mean, I never really hung out at one bar like you asked about, but I used to go to different clubs, wherever the broads were, and it was dancing.
Yeah.
You know, I worked as a bouncer in, you know, Saugus and Revere, Lynn, too, so I used to meet a lot of broads that way.
Yeah.
But I used to go, as far as, you know, going to different clubs, it was just to meet girls.
Have you ever won a woman off of the dance floor? Like, just kind of, like, locked eyes and then started dancing and then fucking ended up fucking sealing the deal?
That's what we used to do all the time.
Wow.
I go gossip abroad to dance, and you end up having a drink with her, and you fucking pick her up that night, or take her on a date later, or whatever. You know, that's how you meet broads.
Fucking,
you know.
Wow. I will never know that really? Kind of
arrival.
That
didn't exist. You missed it.
That never existed for you?
No, well,
that's
maybe,
how it was done,
maybe
John,
because
back
I,
in the day, right?
Maybe absolutely. Because I had no fucking game, and I couldn't fucking dance, and I had no fucking confidence.
I mean,
those things play
you know,
into
you,
it.
You start, you know, you plant the seed early. With a couple of broads, dance with them, get them a drink, talk to them, how you doing, be nice.
And now, though, that's all even too much. Now guys tell me they get right to the point. Remember they awkwardly sit there and go, I'm going to ask that girl if she wants to dance. Go ahead, ask her. And you have to go, would you like to dance? It's so awful.
Well, that's different. They don't like...
That sucks. I won't do that.
They don't really play, like, you know, if you go to a dance club, there's never any, like, slow songs or anything now.
Techno and stuff. Right?
Oh, yeah. It's just all...
I was in
and then, like, trap music and stuff. So everybody's just always shaking ass.
Right.
So that's what you do.
Do you ever get drunk driving, arrested for drunk driving?
No, I talked my way out of it. Back in the day, they'd go, how many of you had? I go, officer, I swear to God, I only had 7. And I'm going right home. They go, you best run along now.
Unbelievable.
I swear to God, I'm going right home.
If you had booze in the car, they just make you empty it out.
Right.
Oh, they take it.
Believe it or not, a couple of beers can take the edge off while you're driving.
Couple's okay.
Just in the right zone.
Yeah.
Too much coffee's no good. Saying you're fucking amped up on coffee, right? And you're looking at your text. What's worse, that or having 2 beers?
Yeah. Yeah. I think drinking in public and pissing in public should both be allowed. It's a part of fucking the American DNA.
Well, I just got back from New York City and fucking right during the day, some guy's pissing against the wall in Times Square.
About defecation.
I saw that in Chinatown. I saw human shit in Chinatown. On a newspaper. Someone just fucking took a shit right there.
Oh, yeah, no. All the rules of society are breaking down. Except when you try to do it.
Yeah.
Everybody else can fucking get away with it, but not us.
How about the guys that, like, you eventually feel bad for, like, that become the deep bar regulars? Like, the guy that's been in that corner stool for fucking 20 years, you know?
Who self-pity?
Yeah.
Mr. Self-Pity over there?
Yeah, that's
no,
tough.
Not me.
That's why I like to see someone like that. Hey, self-pity. Fucking sitting there.
They drown their sorrows, as
they
say.
Jump in front of a train.
Oh, yeah, just
fucking get it over with.
They go, look at that guy at the end of the bar. What happened to him?
He wants to look at you.
He's depressed. Why? No one knows. His wife fucking offed herself 30 years ago.
It's a miserable existence.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Get the fuck over it.
Yeah, but he's been coming here every day for the past 35 years as soon as work lets out, playing but solitaire on his fucking iPad.
But, you know, even those places have been reduced. In the old days, right, and there's still some in certain towns, whatever, a core of old grizzled fuckers, right, can check into a bar at 9, 10 in the morning, set up their smokes, fucking TV right there, and get on the way.
Play little dots.
You're there all day.
Yeah. The guy didn't say, hey, fucking Keno.
Yeah, you've had 15 drinks. They don't give a fuck. Of course I have. I've been here for 12 hours. That's not bad.
Yeah, exactly.
How about happy hours? Know, do you guys have any crazy happy hour memories?
I love one. Well, that penny a drink thing is pretty fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah.
But down in Florida, they still got them. I was at some.
They still do happy hours? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know something? I went to many, many, many happy hours, and I was not happy. When I left, I was very unhappy.
Fucking
I got arrested
angry.
Twice as a result of bad happy hour behavior.
Oh, yeah.
Not once, twice. And both times it was cop fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I may have alluded to this once upon a time.
You may have.
All happy hour stuff.
Well, you know what happens.
It's fucking crazy.
You got a bunch of people there, and you always got some guys are acting like douchebags, you know? There's always, you know, you can't just sit there and have a drink. You get some fucking hot oat. You're talking to a girl or something. He comes over, fucking cock blocks you or whatever. I mean, there's always some fucking asshole doing something at those happy hours.
It's time to
duel. Used to be.
Yeah, right. But it's like they said that it was like, you know, it was supposed to promote new business and stuff. But 9 times out of 10, all you got were just the booze bags that were working the fucking circuit. Oh, on Tuesdays, I go to Molly's and I get the $2 shots at 5 o'clock. On Thursdays, I go to fucking King's Tavern and
Best happy hour ever, EJ's. 7 to 9. I think it was Thursday nights or whatever. A penny a drink.
Oh,
best
man.
In the history of the world.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
You know, they've taken a lot of fun out of drinking and manliness, and it's all kind of tied together. You know what I mean? Guys are drinking boutique beers, and you walk into a fucking beer shop, and
what the fuck's a White Claw, by the way?
What is that?
It's a vodka-infused seltzer.
You notice
that's flavored.
Subtly trying to, like, make these drinks, these alcoholic beverages, so palatable. They almost blend into being something harmless, like White Claw or Truly. What is this?
Yeah,
Truly, it's not
that
in there. It's fucking 9% alcohol. No,
what is Truly? Is that
it's the same thing.
Vodka, too?
Oh, yeah, it's 9%? The same thing. Yeah, all of it.
I like going to a brewery, and I always say, give me the stout, because you get more bang for your buck. It's like the most alcohol. 7-8%. Give me the stout.
With craft beer, we have all these breweries everywhere.
Right.
I'm a big brewery guy. I got to tell you. I like that. I like going to a brewery.
I can't talk about it, though. So, like, a guy, no. And they tell me about the recipe. Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, who gives a shit? Was it 11% IPA with double hops?
Just give me a flight with all stout.
You know that honey nut flavor? Well, one of the guys discovered it when he put his fucking balls in the vat of beer, and he thought that would give it a nice woody flavor. So that's how we came upon that fucking recipe. I mean, is this what you want to hear? No.
But it's like you kind of go into those places and you see the environment and you're like, oh, so this is where people are picking up broads now, like at the crusty
the brewery. Right.
Like it's like that's the place because it's a non-threatening environment. You know, like a regular bar is more threatening. Like what the fuck?
How about if you go like this to a broad? You go like this. I know the brewmaster.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
The brewmaster.
I actually tried that a couple of times, and I did know the brewmaster. Didn't work.
Good opening line, though, right?
Yeah.
Those brewmasters think they're really fucking hot shits, though, don't they? Like, there he is. It's the brewmaster. Look at him.
Never met one.
Thinks he's like the fucking captain of the Norwegian Cruise Line or some shit.
You make
fucking beer. Probably has a big beard, those guys, right?
Yeah.
The fuck out of here.
It's like being a fucking, like, the executive chef at Applebee's.
Yeah, I get
like,
it's like,
yeah, big deal.
Fuck off.
There's a brewery right across from my house. It just opened up a couple of years ago. That's fucking awesome. I just started going into this year.
How many times have you got shut off at bars?
Several.
Yeah, a lot. Over the years, a lot.
Yeah. But back in the old days, though, they were reluctant to shut you off.
Yeah, well, I was at college all the time. They'd be like, keep an eye on Harmon.
Yeah.
You know, the people with the rat, keep an eye on. You know, some of my friends work there, so I get free pitches all night. But, you know, some of the fucking stuck-up assholes that work there that didn't like me. Keep an eye on Harmon. Make sure he doesn't drink too much.
The only time I ever got shut off was at the shittiest of bars, the Press Box in Beverly. The place was a fucking dive with all hardcore fucking booze bags. I probably had about three beers, nowhere near my threshold. And it seemed like the bouncer had a hair across his ass. And he was like,
clearly targeted.
Yeah, I felt targeted. He was like, you look a little drunk. You're slurring your words. I can't let you in.
I'm just
stoned.
And I'm
like, look at these fucking mutants. They're fucking they're falling asleep in their fucking chair. They're fucking stuffing their face with shitty popcorn and missing, and some, I'm the fucking maniac.
Some bouncers, it goes to their head, the bouncer, and they get a little authority. Those are the guys you don't want to be cops.
But 9 times out of 10, that's a
It's always good to knock out a bouncer in front of the big line waiting in front of a club.
Yeah.
Big, burly bouncer. You're not like, that big, but you got a few skills.
Throw some uppercuts.
You hit him with a fucking jab. You stun him. His fucking knees buckle. Then you go for the uppercuts. The whole line goes, ooh.
Set the fucking tone. That's how to make an entrance.
Fucking move.
That's an alpha move right there.
Absolutely.
Before you go out with all your buddies and you go out for a night of drinking, there's always the make it or break it moment, the pregame. Did you guys ever get into heavy with the pregame?
Oh, you can't report for the game.
Be down someone's basement fucking getting hammered at 2 or 3 in the afternoon. Getting ready. Watching a game on a Saturday, watching college football, whatever.
Yeah, and then going out for last call.
Then just go out and tear it up.
Sometimes the pregame was worse than the actual game. Sometimes I had to sit the game out.
Yeah,
sometimes people didn't make it to the game.
Yeah, you don't make it.
Too much early.
I always preferred the pregame so much when it came to the point where it was like, let's go to the game. I was always like, maybe I'll just fucking see it. Yeah.
I'm that way with real games. When I used to last go to games, like my last, say, football game I went to, I said, fuck this. I'm going back to the wagon outside. I don't care about the fucking game. On the car drinking. That's where the booze and all the shit was.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't need to see the fucking game in any capacity.
Yeah.
The pregame and your own game is where it's at.
A little tailgating.
Tailgate.
Yeah.
If you don't drink, all your stories suck. It's the absolute truth. Like, if you don't, there's no good stories that come out of, I was dead sober and this fucking thing happened. All the best stories start from drinking. And, all the funnest stories and all the best times, you always associate it with drinking, right?
100%.
Yeah.
Guys that don't drink, how about when you go out with a guy that they don't drink at all, and you notice there's no stories from those nights at all, ever, right?
Don't trust them.
At least you got a designated driver.
Right.
Never trust a man that doesn't drink.
So I hope you enjoyed the
Be a Man
experience.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.